Hello, friends, and welcome to Brazenly Shady. My name is Shazen Pages, and I'm one of your co-hosts. If you're a fan of chopping it up with your girlfriends while engaging in real, raw, and raunchy conversations, then buckle up and get comfortable because Brazenly Shady is definitely the podcast for you. Join me and my co-host, Sharonda Isadora, for bi-weekly episodes as we discuss all things romance with a dose of drama, tarot, and lipstick. Where you going? You ain't going nowhere. Tune in with us, guys. I promise you, you won't regret it.
Okay. So it looks like
round two. This is round three.
Anyway, so welcome to Brazenly Shady. I'm Sharonda and
I'm Tama. Welcome back.
Hello, y'all. We are back.
Welcome back. Woohoo! I feel like I don't even touch nothing. Like, what the fuck?
Well, anywho, we was having some technical difficulties, y'all. This thing was trying to play us the hell out, but okay.
Maybe they didn't want us to be talking shit today, because you know, any opportunity for me to talk shit, But today we have a special recording today. Is it special? Yes, it is. Because you know why?
Why?
The FMC was a special bitch. So this is why.
Bro, I was like, is this girl retarded? Let me take that. Is she special? Did she ride cheese bus, the yellow bus?
You know what? Today, well, last year we decided to open up our review requests. It was last year, right? And we got some messages back from some authors. So we want to just thank you guys for reaching out and trusting us with your book. We kind of derailed a little bit last year. So we are back on the tracks.
Hello.
We're back on the tracks and we're trying to get these reviews knocked out. And our first review for 2024 will be Fixation by Nicole Whitfield.
Look at us, dude.
Let me tell you something.
This book was wild as fuck. Like, that's how I could start off, because the more I read, I was like, wait, what is going on here?
Y'all be sitting here talking about y'all want to read more books where the FMC falls in love with her stalker, and y'all ain't read Fixation by Nicole Whitfield yet? What the fuck are you doing?
If y'all ain't read this book and y'all talking about that type of shit, I'm signing out everybody because the fuck?
Ivy was a special chick. You understand what I'm saying? I personally think the girl was just floating through life. She was one of those people who were just okay with just doing the bare minimum. She had no type of goals, no type of aspirations. She was just okay with being okay.
It seemed like the only thing she was really serious about was, like, her run every morning.
Yes.
It was that, like, was okay, but can you be serious about other stuff, Miss Ma'am? Like, what's going on here? Like, to me, that seemed like the only thing she was serious about. Like, she had to do that. That was a constant thing she did every morning, and she did not miss it. But anyway, y'all. So we start this book off with Ivy, who is a young woman who lives in this small town in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And Ivy is just going through the motions, right? She's young. She works at this cafe, and she lives with an ancient man who was kind of like had
But is he okay? Okay, okay. I'm not defending James because, you know,
please don't.
I'm always gonna be fuck these niggas, get money. Right. One, Ivy wasn't getting money. Okay. Two.
Right.
Two.
Oh.
I feel like James got tired of her complacent attitude. I think he got tired of her complacent attitude and the fact that she didn't want to do nothing.
But also, that's kind of like, to me, now I understand what you're saying, but it's like, to me, if you, it's like he didn't do anything to get her to where he wanted her to be in the relationship.
But that's not his job to get her to where.
It's not his job, but it's not his job, but if you want a certain type of woman, Ivory was not the type of woman for James. James wanted somebody that was, I guess, was going to be like on the same type level as he is, because, and if we think about it, James ain't really had shit either, because outside of his family name, what did he
That's
really
what I'm
have?
Saying. He seemed like he was a trust fund baby.
He was.
One, his people did not like Ivy anyway.
Which was another thing, and I'm like, you keep going around, you going to Target buying good dresses so these people could talk shit about you when you go to these to their house? Like, no. Like, nah. But
did she really like James, though? Like, it seemed like she was a hobo. She was a hobosexual. No, for real. Because she ain't had no place to goddamn live. So it seemed like she was probably putting up with James, too, because she was like, fuck it. Yeah. You know, I got my little barista job. I ain't got nowhere to go. We living in this big time place. This nigga probably handling 85-90% of the goddamn bills.
He was.
Let me stay in my lane. So at the end of the day, she was a hobo.
I mean, yeah, I can see that. She was very complicit.
There were plenty red flags that she missed. That's why I tell you, this girl was just swimming down the stream like salmon. Because what the fuck? She was just going with the flow. How red flag from jump, from I started this book, I peeped the red flags from jump, and I was like, Ivy, is you blind?
And that's what I was saying. Like, I just did not. She was just so complicit in everything. She was complicit in the relationship with James. She let James, and I feel like she let James do what he wanted to towards her because she was in a mind frame of, well, like, I just got this little barista job and he brings in most of the money. He has this condo. I'm living in there with him and stuff. So I'm just going to have to, you know, do whatever I can to satisfy him. But she wasn't even doing that much. And then she had a fucked up ass friend. Like, the red flags were so flagging. It was out of pocket. You already knew going inside the book, reading that goddamn friend, that girl was not shit. She was not shit. And Ivy was like, oh, well, you know, that's my friend. And I'm like, that's not your fucking friend, girl. That is not your friend.
If it had nothing to do with her running schedules, she did not care. Because first of all.
Yeah, pretty much.
How you gonna sit there and the proof was in the pudding. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't even find out that your friend was smashing your boyfriend. And then this is how I know Ivy just wasn't about shit, because she stayed in the house and she was listening to them fuck. What?
That part blew my mind, because I was like, you mean to tell me you can't go, you ain't got nowhere to go? Like, nowhere to go? If I had to leave town, I was leaving town, because there's no fucking way I'm staying in the same goddamn apartment with my goddamn ex-boyfriend and his new boo and listening to them. Like, you in the guest room while these motherfuckers is fucking? Like, what?
Nicole Whitfield had some goddamn audacity when she was writing this book.
I said, lady, what is this?
Because first of all, Ivy let them get away too freaking. She let them get away because why you ain't box these niggas up? Why you ain't box these niggas up?
And then the
you get away too easy.
And then you come home from work and your former friend is talking shit to you. Bitch, I will swing you out this motherfucking window. Like, fuck a door. Where's the window? Okay? Because there's no fucking way you talking about. I don't care if it is no longer my house. You are not talking to me like that. You skank. You whore.
I'm throwing bowls like ludicrous, bitch.
Girl, I'm fucking you up so many kind of ways.
On sight.
Let me tell you how devious I am. Bitch, I'm going to wait till you go to sleep. And I'm fucking you and him up. Like, y'all gonna have some hot grits, water, snakes, all sorts of shit on your asses.
That's it right there, hot grits. I'm hot gritsing y'all. Better yet, I can wait till I hear moaning in the room and I'm coming in and I'm throwing the grits at y'all. Boom. I'm throwing the grits at y'all. Go ahead.
I was like, why is she still here? But anyway, y'all. So anyway.
She made moves to get away from James and Cam, which I feel... This is where her being naive came into play, because it's like the way that dude approached her about someplace to stay. Ivy, girl, what the fuck? You so really ain't pick up on that? You really ain't pick up on that? You really ain't
The way she didn't pick. So here's the thing. So Ivy ends up meeting Cam. Cam, who we kind of find out is, girl, the elevator ain't reached the top floor. The Fruit Loops was looping. Like, this motherfucker was just all types of crazy. Like, how you talking to your psychiatrist and you still don't get it? You still weird. You still crazy. Like, Cam was fucking nuts. But anyway.
But you know what? I did like the way that she weaved the therapy in there to show us that Cam wasn't playing with a full deck, though. Like, I like that because I'm like, your therapist is talking to you, Cam. Are you listening?
No.
Are you catching on to what therapist is saying, Cam?
He was not listening.
This nigga was not right listening. Here.
Cam was fucking crazy. Was like his therapist.
It's a fixation. No, Sam, you crazy.
That's what his therapist was like. What are you doing to fix this? This fixation that you have on her. And he's like, no, I think I'm okay. It's not that. And it's like, sir, it is. You're fucking nuts. But anyway, she ends up meeting Cam. And Cam is, like we said, the deck is not full at all. Okay. It ain't even half a deck. The shit probably got two cars in it. But anyway, so she meets Cam. He comes inside the coffee. He comes inside the coffee shops one day.
Like a knight in shining hour. I mean, armor in his knight in shining armor. Damn it, I can't talk. But anyway, some things is just too good to be true. Like all of a sudden, please. You got a room of it. Like Ivy, please.
The fact that he was really making it hard for her to find somewhere else to live was fucking nuts. Like she couldn't get out this other man's house because Cam was going around town making sure she had nowhere else to move. So as he was making friends with her, he was like, oh yeah, girl, come stay with me.
Cam had money. That's the thing. He had money. He had buku money. He done buy out this older couple house. And he done buy out this...
Yo, him going to them people buy that house cracked me up. Because I was like, what the fuck is wrong with him?
You see, and that's the thing. I wanted to know, I needed to know where the fuck this nigga get this money from and how much money did he pay these people? Because they haul ass.
But remember, he said growing up, he was adopted or whatever. But he said he wrote this computer program. He got into computers and stuff. He wrote this computer program. And it kind of made him like an instant millionaire or whatever. And then he was just doing his own business and stuff. So he was able to not work in the office and stalk people.
Stalk people is correct.
And then it's like when he brought these people, I was like, how he thought these old? And it was crazy because he figured out what kind of house Ivy wanted to live in if she ever got married. Found the fucking house and bought it from up under the people.
And that's what happens when you meet these psychos. These psychos be listening. They be listening and they try to make all your dreams come true. These psychos, right? Because that nigga wasn't playing with a full deck. But he was a good listener, right?
He was a very good listener because I was like, how he even know how the fuck, what fucking house is late in the morning?
And Ivy, see, this is what happened. She was just so happy getting handouts and she ain't had to work for nothing. She gets swing. That's what it was. She gets swing, right? Because
I'm so tickled.
Tell me I lied. Tell me I lied. She was just happy she had to
because he was like, yeah, because he was like, oh, you know, I have an extra room in my house. You could come stay with me. And she was like, you know, I don't know. Then when she get to the fucking house, she's like instantly like, oh my God, I always dreamed of living in a house like this. I said, this motherfucking said,
Ivy,
girl.
Please. Ivy, please. I was like, Ivy, please. Like, I was so upset.
Because she was really just like, she was just like, was, so.
You know, when you read in a book and you just shaking your head, you be like, this dumb bitch. Like,
yes. Oh my God. For like 100% of the book, I was like,
wake up, Ivy. Wake up, bitch.
I kept saying, what the fuck is wrong with this girl? I was like, even her best friend, the girl that she ended up making friends with at the coffee shop was like, I don't know. She was like, he just came out of nowhere and he's offering you all these things and all this other stuff. And Ivy's like, no, he's really nice. He's really cool.
Ivy, that's the laziness in her. I tell you, that's the laziness in her. She didn't want to have to work. So she was like, you know what? Fuck it. James fucking with my friend.
Yeah.
Sam bitch ass.
Yeah.
You understand? I ain't got no job. I mean, I'm a barista. I'm okay with, and the thing about, she was okay with being a barista. And I was, you know, good.
Or remember the guy that was fucking with her when she was in high school and stuff?
What happened to that nigga?
What did you?
What happened? Yo. What the hell Cam do to that nigga? Because Cam did something to him because when he saw Cam, this nigga walk on the other side of the street.
I was like, what he do?
What did Cam do to this nigga?
I'm like that little girl, like, what I do? I was like, what did he do to that man? That man was so fucking scared he crossed the street when he saw him.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
Like I said, those are two things that I wanted. What the hell did Kiam say to that dude?
I don't
what
know.
What Kiam say to that dude to make him cross the other side of the road? And how much money did this nigga pay them old people?
I don't know how much he paid them people to get them up out of their house. I was like, that they were in for years.
He probably doubled that goddamn asking price because he was like, you know what? I made them an offer. They couldn't refuse. And I'm like, I'm sure your crazy ass did.
I said, what the fuck? He was straight up fucking psycho. But he was fucking smart.
He was very calculated, too. And the thing about
very calculated.
When he got Ivy, a.k.a. Hobo, under his roof, he started to romance her, you know. Yes. Started to give her a little
started to date her razzle little
dazzle, one, two, three, razzle dazzle. You know, he started to
her.
And I'm like, Ivy, please. I was like, Ivy, girl.
I said, look at this damn dummy.
Ivy, open up your eye.
She couldn't. She was so, and I think she was so.
That's the laziness, She didn't want to do nothing. She just didn't want, she wanted everything handed to her. So she turned a blind eye to everything. You think she did not know that James and Sam was sexing each other? She probably knew. She was like, I got nowhere else to go, bitch.
No,
I got
Tama, she, like, when I got to that part, I truly believe that she did not know because she was so hurt by Sam finding out that Sam, I think she wasn't surprised at James because initially I feel like she knew that James was going to put her out or leave her at some point in time. But I think she was really hurt by Sam.
I mean, the mama didn't like her, so she was, the mama was like, the mama knew.
Would you say the mom knew? The mama knew she was a hobo, so the mama was like, "Yeah, you got him. No, you got to find somebody else. This girl ain't no good."
The mom knew she was shit. She wasn't hitting on nothing. But like I was saying, so when Kiam got her under his roof, right? Mm-hmm. He started to romance a little sexual healing Marvin Gaye style, you know, the razzle dazzle, whatever, you know. And they fell because they were starting to fall in love with each other. Which, in, I'm gonna go back to Ivy being a hobo. I don't think she really liked him. Like, I don't know. I'm just thinking out of my head.
I think she was so used to people not treating her right that how Cam was treating her once he got her in his house was just, I feel like, was like the best thing that ever happened to her, because she was not used to being treated well. You know what I'm saying? She just wasn't.
Look at my face.
I mean, she wasn't, and we could get
in survival. She was in survival mode at this point.
Yeah, she was in survival mode because she didn't have anywhere else to go. Her parents had them moved out of the state. She didn't have nobody left in that little small town. But it was just like to allow yourself to be treated like that, to allow yourself to let this man, James, like treat you like, I mean, he talked to her any kind of way. Treated her, and she was just like, well, you know, that's just James. It's like, bitch, where's your backbone? Like, straighten up, bitch.
She had no backbone. The backbone was paper. The backbone was paper. She had none. But anyway, what let me know that Ivy wasn't uptight? You know, the crochet design, he had no knot. This is why I know Ivy wasn't wrapped tight. Because when she was living with him, I think it was this necklace. Was it the necklace that she got from her?
So she had a necklace. No, it was a bracelet.
Bracelet or necklace?
That something. Her father had given her, who she thought Sam had stolen from her. And that's when she was finally going to beat Sam ass. I was like, bitch, you should have beat Sam ass. But okay.
Been beat Sam ass talking.
But you're going to worry about a bracelet. But okay, ho, whatever. But so this motherfucker was so crazy. He had them built an altar to Ivy in his closet. And remember when she first got there, he always told her not to go inside of his room. So she ends up one day, this is after they had done got together. He's, like Tamar said, he's whining, dining her, fucking her good and all this other stuff. Child.
She went to visit, but she was on a trip.
She went to go visit her family for Christmas or something like that, and she came back. But remember, I think the motherfucker went down there. Didn't he like fly down there to stalk her or some shit like that? Because he missed her so much.
He was calling her, but I miss you so much. And I was
crazy, like, yes. I was like, this motherfucker.
I think he was dead. Because, you know, remember when, when we finished talking about this, I want to go back because I got something else. Mm-hmm. But she found out that this nigga stole the little bracelet / necklace, whatever, and had a shrine of her.
In his closet, in his room.
And this bitch was not freaked out.
She was freaked out initially because, remember, she freaked out. She not got
enough.
Scared.
You weren't freaked out enough, Sharonda.
No, she wasn't. She freaked out a little bit. She got scared and she left. Remember, she left. But then he came to the hotel and somehow, some way, he convinced her to come back and stay with him, which I was like, girl, you need to get away from this motherfucker quickly.
That nigga find you. You ain't even tell this nigga where you was, and he roll up there like he had the key. That alone would have made me pack my little hobo bag and skedaddle out of there. He roll up there.
Not the hobo bag.
How he find her?
He had an Apple tag on her ass.
I'm telling you, he tagged something because he rolled up there like he had the key. And
I mean, he ain't even let her leave for like what, 2 days? He was at that goddamn hotel. I said, this motherfucker is nutty buddy boy. I said, look at him. Oh, remember when she was gone, he was in her room crying and shit. Like he really missed her and stuff. I was like, no, psycho.
Didn't he masturbate in her goddamn room when she was gone?
Yeah. I think he took a pair of drawers out of drawers.
Nigga, Nicole, please. Nicole.
Said, what the fuck this lady done wrote?
Nicole.
No, I had to question myself because I was like, am I liking this?
I was just about to say, I kind of liked it. Like,
I was like, am I liking this? Is something wrong with me? I was like, oh my God, it was crazy.
Because Ivy liked it. And if we liked it, I mean, we like Ivy and we know Ivy wouldn't rock
Ivy tight. Ivy was just.
But like
he was
I
just
said,
dumb as hell.
He showed up like he had the key to the place. And it's like, what the fuck?
And she was like, what are you doing here? I was like, bitch, you should be running.
And she was like, well, I needed some time. And he was like, like.
He was like, yeah, that's enough time.
He was like, you already had enough time, bitch. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah, I love you. I love you. You're coming home. She was like, okay. Was right. I was like, bitch.
Okay, and then next thing you know, we get to the epilogue of this bitch that hot cheering for this nigga. Ivy, please.
The fact that she had
and was pregnant again. I was like, you let this nigga impregnate you twice?
But we got to the epilogue. She was okay with finding that shit. She was like, well, you know, maybe that's just how he do things, kind of, sort of. I was like, huh? So you walk in his bedroom, you find a shrine to you in his bedroom, the bracelet, the beloved bracelet that your daddy gave you, he had done stole, and you just like, well, okay, yeah. I was like, what?
And he was ejaculating on your fucking clothing.
But y'all, like, even had the parents fall in love with him, too. The parents loved him. Her parents loved him.
The parents always love psychos because they portray themselves to be these. I'm telling you.
You know what that was? That was them parents happy somebody took Ivy's hobo ass in.
That's true. And at the end of the day, Ivy probably was just happy that she, like you said, that she found somebody to love her unconditionally. And maybe Cam and his psycho shit triggered something in her to make her think, damn, this dude must really like me because he's stalking me and he's doing all this stuff. He really into me. You understand what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, she done had two children for this nigga. She had a baby and pregnant again.
They was working on their whole other family. He was just crazy. And he was still fucking crazy because remember, at the end, he was still going to the psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist was like, okay, is everything all right? You know, you got everything you want. And he was like, yeah, sure, maybe. I was like, sir, you still nutty?
But
you still crazy.
Speaking of nutty, remember in the book when Ivy was like, when she broke her ankle and she said, what happened to the man in the bush? And they thought that she hit her head and she was hallucinating. Nigga, that was Cam, wasn't it? That was Cam in their bushes. Cam probably, the thing about it is that it could go back to Cam probably scared her and she tripped on something and then break her ankle.
Remember, he was following her every morning.
So she probably heard a little pebble and that nigga was walking in the goddamn bush and she got scared and tripped. So he probably felt like responsible for her because he broke her ankle. Cause I know it was his ass. Cause she say, what happened to the man in the bush? And everybody was like, fucking man in the bush, girl, is you okay?
That was Cam crazy was ass. Cam. I want her dumb ass. I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, this girl is fucking loony. She just as loony as he is. Cause I was it's like, so you just can't accept this?
Like I said, this was Nicole Whitfield's first book, and baby, listen, what was going through your head when you were writing this shit? Cause I was sitting there reading this book like, the fuck is going on here?
I was flabbergasted. I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
At
like,
this point, and the thing about it is that James and, I want to say James and Lee, Harry Potter, my bad. Anyway, James and Sam get off too easy. James and Sam.
Oh, for sure. I think.
They got off too easy. Oh, God. One. That was my biggest issue.
You know what would have been a, you know what would have been a banger of a plot twist? If Cam would have killed both their asses.
That's what I'm saying. You got Cam psycho ass and you ain't had Cam do the one-to-one them or something. Like, you got Cam and you should have told Cam, this nigga fuck my friend. Cam would have gone freaking protective. And that's what I'm saying.
Because remember, he know how to kill people he killed before and got away with it. He would have got away with it. I was like, why you better tell that man to kill them people?
that was my biggest issue.
But I remember he must have said something to James too, because remember James tried. Now remember James did try to get back with Ivy, and Ken was up in his ass like, nah, player. She already got it. You can't have it no more. He said something crazy to James too. James was like, oh, this motherfucker is nuts. Like,
he should have killed James. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, he like, definitely should have killed him.
Because it's like, you done did my bitch like this. Kill him. Off with his head.
Should have knocked his motherfucking block straight off. Because even though Ivy was, like Tama said, a hotep, a lazy ass bum.
He was a hobo.
James still was disrespectful as fuck. And then to be fucking her fucking friend, like, you dirty dick ass nigga. Like, for real? Like, oh my God. And her friend, oh, I definitely would have had Cam off her ass. Like, she would have been, like, in the ocean with a rock tied to her motherfucking feet floating like fish style. No.
But
no way. Throw the bitch in the water. Nope. Throw the motherfucking water with a boat. Hell no. Mm-mm.
Those were my two drawbacks. One, they got off too easily. And two, I wanted to know what the fuck he said that I do to make him go on the other. Okay, three. What? I wanted to know what he said to that dude to make him go on the side of the street. And three, I wanted to know what the fuck he get them old people to get them old people to move out that house.
Shit, he gave them what they wanted, child. He got them the fuck up out of there. And he paid, and I think he paid like all their moving expenses and shit just so that he can have somewhere for fucking Ivy to come stay. I was like, bitch, what?
They probably in Florida right now in the Everglades with them goddamn gators.
Shit, I'm glad he paid him off and didn't kill him, because I thought for a minute if they didn't get this man in the house, he was going
to
kill him.
Because, you know, he tried to get them to sell how many times? And he tried for a couple of times, and I said, is this nigga going to kill these people?
I thought he was going to kill them old people. I said, oh, he about to kill the old man and the old woman?
This book started off pretty slow, and I feel like that was my struggle with this book. It started off pretty slow.
It does start slow.
Because it like builds, it kind of like builds a story with Ivy, and it gives you her routine, and then it goes into his therapy. So it's kind of like building. So I was like, yeah, this is slow. It's slow, but it picks up, and then it's like, yo, what the? And it's very full of suspense.
It's very much full of suspense and surprises because you honestly didn't know it was Cam until he walked into that coffee shop. And I was like, yeah, this crazy ass nigga right here. I was like, this is him. I said, he's the one fucking stalking her. Because remember, even when she had done made a little friend with the little bum that was coming to the cafe all the time, he was about to off that goddamn man. I was like, I said, all the man did was say hi to her, Cam. Like, calm the fuck down.
You can't say hi to my bitch. Cam was like, nah, bro. You see, I didn't spend all this money trying to get her with me. Nah. He wasn't having that, but
it was nuts. Like the book, it's the pacing does start off slow in the beginning, like Tama said. But once you get to once you get to the part where she finds out that James ain't shit ass is cheating, it kind of picks up from there. And then we get the introduction into more of Cam and his therapy and stuff like that. So the it steadily builds pace. So don't tap out of the book early. It is a slow in the it is slow in the beginning, but it does pick up.
If you are a fan of the show You on Netflix,
holy shit, yes.
This book is definitely
for you. Oh my god. Remember in that fucking first season where he was standing outside that window behind that fake ass tree and this bitch in the house fucking with no bitch, why you ain't got no curtains? I never got that far. No blinds, no nothing. And he just standing there staring. I said, oh, this motherfucker crazy.
Yeah, if you are a fan of You,
yeah.
This is definitely
yes,
a book for you because it gives like stalker vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And
a woman falling in love with her stalker.
Falling in love with her stalker. And it get, and if you're the type for a little happily ever after, you get a little happily ever after, even though I was questioning it, I was like, okay.
Big old question mark show.
Got a little happy ever after, if that's what you did. And the thing about it is that I like the writing style too.
It was a good writing style, even though the pacing was kind of slow in the beginning.
Was off in the beginning.
Yeah, she picked it up and she stayed with the pacing. But I think I liked the way, I don't know, I think it was more of the way, for me, in my opinion, that she wrote Cam, because it was just like, you know, it was just like,
it's one of those things where the author, like, you know that Cam is crazy and he's mentally
not there.
Ill. He's mentally ill, but he also has these qualities that kind of make you want to just slightly forget about his mental illness.
Slightly.
And then you'd be like, give him a chance. You'd be like, he's a good man, Savannah. You know, he gives he's a good man, Savannah vibes. But then something happened, you'd be like, this motherfucker is crazy.
Yeah, because he was giving those he's a good man, Savannah vibes. I mean, like
he was.
I said, he was treating her right, he was doing things for her. Like once they like at the end, once they got married and stuff, the bitch ain't had to work.
Cause it's like, yeah, he's a psycho, but this man bought my dream house. He's crazy, but he bought my dream house. He masturbates to my clothing, and he has a shrine of me, but he calls me and texts me every second and tells me he misses me. Like, she probably was like, James did not. This dude was a total 180 of James. And when I say total 180, I mean that in every sense of the way, because James had, well, James went crazy. And this dude was crazy.
But James like, treated her bad.
But James treated her bad, and this dude just literally worshiped her, literally, because he had a shrine. So, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that's literally it. That's literally it. I think she, that's why I said earlier, she was just so used to being treated bad by the men around her. Like Cam just came along and he was like a fucking knight in shining armor. Like the bitch was blinded.
Knight in shining armor. Who possibly is looking through your window with a knife in his hand?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
So let's start there. But
and then overall, you already know he's the type of husband that is like, if somebody does something towards you, you already know he's gonna murk him. Like he's literally gonna fucking kill him.
You remember when they had the trope and they'd be like, don't touch her vibes, you know?
Oh, that's,
Cam. Cam has don't touch her vibes.
He's serious too. Like, he's not playing. He's going to fucking kill you.
So overall, because I feel like we go, every time we try to wrap it up, we find something else that we like about the book. But overall, I really enjoyed this book. Minus pacing. The pacing was a struggle for me in the front, in the beginning. So hopefully the author will work more on her pacing in her next book, because for a debut, I really think this was a great debut for her. You understand what I'm saying?
I agree.
It was something different, totally different. And I mean, the girlies have been asking for Falling in Love with a Stalker. This is it right here. This is it right here.
I mean, if y'all don't get y'all hands on this book, and then I don't even know what else to tell y'all. Like, I mean, don't fucking walk. Run your ass to this book right now.
Like, Nicole Whitfield is, I feel that she's going to be doing some things when it comes to the, I don't know, how does she categorize?
This is definitely like thriller vibes, like kind of like psychology. Kind of like psycho thriller vibes to it.
Psychological thriller. Maybe this, okay, psychological thriller vibes with romantic elements.
Yes,
Nicole. I feel like she's definitely going to be making a mark in that genre for black characters.
Yeah, I think
I am excited to see what she has.
I think she's found her way. I think she's found her footing and a genre, and girls, stay with it, because
give us more of these stalker crazy vibes.
Okay,
with black people, I am loving it.
I'm loving it. Okay,
and if y'all don't pick this up, I don't want to hear nothing.
We don't want to hear.
No, we want more black thrillers, and we want more black stalkers, bitch. This is it right here.
Here you go. Here you go. Okay. Here you go. Okay. And she also pick up Fixation, and she just had another release, Fallible. So what you waiting for? No talking.
We gotta come back and see if we could review that one too.
I don't know. Cam done stressed me the fuck out. I don't know.
Yeah.
I need a breather and shit. But that is it for us, guys. Please make sure you check out Nicole Whitfield. She has some other books as well, but we are fixated on Fixation, and that's where
you... Yes! I like this show. Let me go. Woo! I like that. Until next time, y'all.
Later days.
Later.
Bye. Hey guys, if you're here, we thank you so very much. Make sure you're tuning in for bi-weekly episodes. You can also catch our previous shows via your favorite podcast and music platforms everywhere. Be sure you're following us via social media at Brazenly Shady. And until the next bout of shenanigans, later days. Bye.